Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter of the first book of Divrei Hayomim. And this perek is on the topic of David HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash. It is 27 psukim long and it is divided into three sections. Our parallel parasha in Nach is to be found in Shmuel Beis Perek Zayin, almost an identical rendition of his story. So let's look at it in the three sections. The first two psukim is David HaMelech's request. David HaMelech now settles down. He's got his palace. The Aron is in Yerushalayim. The enemies are quelled. Things are more or less good. At this point in time, David HaMelech says to Nasan HaNavi, remember Shmuel is no longer around, so Nasan is one of the Nevi'im. So he says, I'm sitting in this beautiful palace, this paneled palace, and the Aron HaBris Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant is underneath the curtains. And so Nasan turns to David and says, call Asher Bilvavcho Aseh. You know, anything that's in your heart, do. Hashem is with you. Why is David HaMelech doing this now? The Abai Barnel says, because he is a sensitive individual. And he realizes now that he's built his palace, he's living comfortably, and the Aaron is not. Basic sensitivity. The Abai Barnel then also suggests that because it seems to be the natural flow of the Torah. If you look in Devarim Yud Beis, the 12th chapter of Devarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes, you've not yet come to the place of resting yet. You're going to cross the Jordan, you're going to settle in the land which Hashem is giving to you, and then you'll dwell securely. Then you're going to bring your karbanos to the place that I'll choose. David HaMelech realizes Hashem's chosen the place. We're in that place, so let's do it. This seems to be the natural progression of the Torah. This is the destiny. This is being able to read Torah as instructions for our life, not just simply Vortlach. Is this a good thing? It seems to be absolutely this is a good thing. In fact, later on, if you go to Bayis Sheni at the times of Chagai, Zechariah, and Melachi, at that point in time, there's a lull in the building. And it's for good reason, because the enemies have attacked Bnei Israel and didn't allow them to continue building the Beis HaMikdash. But at such a point, 18 years into that, Chagai turns to him and says, wait a second. Chagai turns to him and says, Ha'eis lachem atem lasheves b'batechem sifunim v'abayis hazecharev. You're going to dwell in your paneled houses, your air-conditioned dens, and this bias in Hashem's house is destroyed. Meaning, Chagai says it's a travesty to be able to live in comfort when Hashem's bias is not made. That's the same thing. David HaMelech realizes that and is actually taken to action. So it seems to be a very positive thing. How does Nasan HaNavi have the right to give David HaMelech permission? The Chidah says, if you look at the words, kol ashel bilvavcha, when the word for heart in Hebrew is lev, levavcha is actually doesn't mean heart, it means both inclinations, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov. What he's saying is, David HaMelech, I know you've conquered both your Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer Hara. I know that you're worthy of this. I would imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu could only want to say yes. However, that night Nasan HaNavi goes to sleep. The Rabbi now points out it has to be that night because David HaMelech is a very orderly person, and if he has an idea and is given the green light, the next day he's going to have the task force and start cutting the wood. So that night, Nasan HaNavi receives a nevuah, and Hashem says to Nasan, listen, go to David HaMelech and tell him, Lo ata tivne li habayis l'sheves. You're not going to make the house for me. You know what Hashem says? I've not dwelled in a house from the time that I've appeared to Israel and created them as a nation. I've been in an oil. And wherever I went with them, I was always with the Shoftim and with all those people, and all those leaders. I was never in a fixed house. I took you from behind the flocks as a shepherd to become my leader. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to cut down all your enemies. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to plant Israel. And they're not going to be continued to have Bnei Avlo, bad people around. But he says, but in the end of the day, V'chnati is kol oivecha. I'm going to subdue all your enemies. And then I'm going to create your child, which will come out from you. That child will be the one who will in fact build the Beis HaMikdash. And he gives the blessing that this son who you're going to have will be on the throne ad olam forever. And I will be to him as a father. He'll be as my son. And I'm going to establish your home forever. And that's the prophecy that Nasan has given to David. So on the one hand, this is a disappointing message. David HaMelech is denied the request he so wanted. On the other hand, it's a blessing in the sense that he's now given longevity and a legacy, essentially. So is this a bracha? So yes, it's true. Actually, there's a little bit of an added sentence and clause, which is found in Sefer Shmuel, which is not found over here. And that is that Hashem says about Shlomo HaMelech that I will hurt him, b'shevet anashim v'nigei b'nei adam. That I'm going to send against him people, bad people who are going to torture him. And what the Radak explains that means over there is that I will perhaps sometimes have to hurt him, but I will never fully remove him from the throne. Meaning, David HaMelech, you're guaranteed longevity on the throne. Which son is this? So David HaMelech has many sons. So the Radak says, because it says, Asher Yetzei Mime'echo, the one who you will have, it refers to a son who is not yet born. And therefore, this must be one of the future ones, which narrows it down certainly as well. And Shlomo HaMelech is in the running. One fascinating just dynamic to think about over here is whose son this really is. Rabbi Foreman points out that throughout the Sefer of Shmuel, you'll notice that the son is not the biological father, it's somebody else. So Eli becomes the surrogate father of Shmuel. His children don't follow him. Shmuel's surrogate son becomes David. David is the surrogate son of Shaul, but he really becomes the surrogate son of Shmuel. And we have all these so to speak, these children who become adopted by this surrogate father. And in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Shlomo is not going to be your son as much as he's going to be my son as well. It's also worthwhile noting linguistically in this section that the word bias, the word house, is one of the milim manchot, which means one of the words which appear again and again, and is one of the thematic ideas of this. And it's important to realize this. David HaMelech's request is to build the bias. In the end of the day, that's denied, but he's given the bias, which means to say we should not overlook that comparison. Hashem is responding, I'm going to establish your bias, but you're not going to build my bias. It's a very powerful point to think about. Finally, the last section of this perek, from Psukim Tes Zayin to Chav Zayin, is the end where David HaMelech turns to pray. He goes to David HaMelech, hears this message, and he, in an incredible speech, describes his humility. Who am I that Hashem, you chose me? I'm so small. I feel so blessed that you've given me so much. And he describes Hashem's greatness. He says, Hashem ein kamoicha. There's no one like you. Ein Elokim, Elokim zulosecha. There's no power in the world outside of you. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goyachod ba'aretz. And who is like you, the Israel, one nation in the world, which is famously, as the Gemara says, or the words written in the metaphoric tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes from this pasuk, meaning this bilateral relationship of uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, as to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, and you chose Israel of all the nations, and you spoke to them, and we believe in you, and we have emunah, v'yigdal shimcha ad olam, yet your name be great for eternity. And then he asks and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the very end of this beautiful speech, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let your prophecy be fulfilled, that my child should be your servant and should be able to fulfill this. And then he ends with, Ki ato Hashem beirachta umevorach le'olam, you blessed me, you should be blessed forever. So what's the flow over here? The Malbim points out that in describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, foundation of judgment over the earth and the power that Hashem wields over all of mankind and Israel specifically and uniquely, he's saying, I'd like for your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be part of the plan. So he's saying, not for my sake, but for your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me be a vehicle to this. Now, the main question that we have to ask in the parak is, why not? David HaMelech ostensibly has made a very, very powerful request. It's in his own initiative. And Nasser and Novi thinks it's a good idea. Why is it that Hashem does not think it's a good idea? So we don't actually get an official explanation in this parak, nor do we get one in Shmuel Beis. In fact, all we get is that Hashem says, up till now, I've been in tents and I'm not choosing to be in a house yet. I'm going to have your child do it. But we don't have the details. Later on, when David HaMelech is speaking to Hiram in Dira Yamim Aleph Perek Chof Beis, David HaMelech does add a reasoning. And he says, he adds what something Hashem said to him, because Dom Larov Shafato Milchamos Gedolos Asisa, you spilled lots of blood and you had many wars. Therefore, Lo Sivne Bayis Lishmi Kidomim Rabim Shafata Artsolofona, you poured much blood in front of him. So what does this mean? Like, how? What was that? What was going on over here that Hashem added this point? So the Malbim says that really it's a catch-22. At this stage in the game, the wars have not yet finished. As we're going to see, there's still a number of wars that David HaMelech still has to wage. So if there's not peace yet, then he can't build the base of Mikdash. But later on, when he's conquered all the enemies, at that point in time, Dom LaRosh HaFachta, at that point you've spilled too much blood, so David HaMelech, you're not the right person. Which means you need a person like Shlomo, whose name is Shalom, peace, where there's peace and that the peace wasn't got to through that vehicle, which means David HaMelech did need to do this. This is a necessary prerequisite, but in the end of the day, it ultimately needs to be a person who did not have to wield that sword. It should be noted that when we say the Mizmor Lamed, the 30th Psalm in Tehillim, we say Mizmor Shir Chanukasa by Sir David. When the house is dedicated, is it dedicated in David's name? Even though he wasn't able to make it, but he enabled it, and it is ultimately in his name through his son. So it's just something worthwhile thinking, the convergence of those two ideas. Abby Dienstag actually has made an interesting suggestion to me, that and that is that at the beginning of at this stage in the game of David HaMelech's life, perhaps it wasn't Dom LaRosh HaFachta, it wasn't too much blood, but later on in his life, perhaps he became affected by it. And sometimes you see this with military leaders, that they become somewhat callous towards bloodshed. And David HaMelech only reports that statement of Hashem later on in his life. And perhaps that's exactly the point. You see it actually in the conversation David HaMelech has with his general when he sends out Uriah Achiti, and Uriah is killed. David HaMelech says to the messenger, he says, Al yira b'aynecha sadavar hazeh. Don't worry about this fatality. Ki chozoi b'chozeh yetoich al cherev. You know, people die in war. When David HaMelech reached his later life and the callousness set in terms of that perspective, that's when Hashem said to him, Ki dam l'rosh hafachta. That's when it became too much blood because of your attitude. And that might be another aspect of this catch-22. There's another entirely different way of looking at this. The Barbanel quotes a very beautiful medrash, which describes that ultimately, quotes Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi, who says that it doesn't mean to say that you kill too much. Rather, what it means to say is that you brought your work and your wars are like karbonos in front of me, meaning you brought so many karbonos, and this is all like you're sacrificing in the temple for me. That's the blood that's being referred to, meaning all your work is like the most magnificent karbonos to enable the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's true, why did he not allow him to build the Beis HaMikdash? So the Midrash goes on to say that David HaMelech, if you would have built the Beis HaMikdash, it would have been so perfect and so impenetrable spiritually that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be angry with Bnei Yisrael because of their actions, he would have to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Famous Midrash. But Hashem allowed it to be that Shlomo HaMelech would be the one to build it, because Shlomo HaMelech wasn't quite as perfect even as David HaMelech in this respect. And therefore it would be a Beis HaMikdash which had a fault line, and when Bnei Yisrael would sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could destroy the Beis HaMikdash and not destroy Bnei Yisrael. So that's another way of looking at it and putting these two pieces together, two opposite sides of the same coin as well. This closes Perek Yud Zayin. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.